Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
I do want to break it down. Before I do, I was listening to that very good commercial you were listening to just a second ago. And you know what? There's probably not going to be a more important time to get great advice. And if you've never taken a look at those books I wrote, they took me 50 Fridays, if you haven't heard me say that before. So they were a lot of work, 100 revisions, good stuff. And if you want to buy your own copy, you can go to Amazon.com or go to my website, davidholland.com, and you can get your own copy. The How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams is actually, it's only $10. I know shopping season's over, so maybe you buy that for yourself or somebody you just care so much about. You want to get them the greatest book on the planet. but no, actually, you know, what prompted me to mention that to you today is I just met with somebody here yesterday that had come in and said, and I'm finding this a lot, and I hope you do the same when you are evaluating financial people to maybe help you and guide you if you don't have one or you're trying to think about getting a different one. Make sure you know what questions to ask. Make sure you are interviewing a couple of people. I've seen lately a rise. More people seem to be either being more candid about it or they're doing more of this where they are interviewing multiple advisors. I encourage that. You might say, well, David, no, you only want them to come in and see you and not interview anybody else. And that's not true. I actually like when people interview other people, other advisors, because it gives some context to how they think about what I might do for them. So if you've never looked at that book, go to the website. Well worth the $10 to get a copy of that, and you'll know so much more about how financial people work. All right, so back to the program. Let's see here. Okay, I want to do this real quick. Let me go to, obviously, we talked about what happened on the day for the first day of our new 2013 trading year for January 2nd. But let's take a look. Let's get in our rearview mirror here and look back. And I'll always like to refer to my friends over at Wall Street Journal. If you've never really taken a look at the Wall Street Journal, it's got a lot of stuff. A lot of people say, well, that's too much. But one of the pages I love, and this probably plays to my detailed nature, is they have a really good money section. And it lets me very quickly go around the world and tell you what's happening. Let's take a quick look at our domestic markets. We talked about what happened the first of the year, but let's look at all of 2012. Now all of our numbers match up here. Let's see. The Dow Jones Industrial Average year to date, which would be for the whole year, 7.3%. So that's just a raw index. Those 30 mega caps, ultra big, large components of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, that's what their percentage increase was, 7.3%. No fees, no expenses, just the index. And of course, any advisor worth their salt will tell you you can't invest directly in the index. If you buy an index fund, it's a close clone, but there are still fees. And let's see, S&P 500, which are 500 of the largest U.S.-based corporations, but it may have some, of course, revenue and activities outside the U.S., they were up collectively 13.5%. Now, that's pretty strong. And you see right there, that's interesting, the difference between the 500 companies versus those 30 Dow companies. What else do we have here? Let's go to around the world, looking at the International Stock Index or indices. Let's look at several of them. First, let's start with the bad news. Let's see. There's only two countries now. We started the year, or earlier in the year, we had a number of countries that had been negative throughout the year, but it looks like Chile and Spain were the only two that were negative for the entire 2012 year. Chile was off 11, and Spain just under 5%. At some points during the year for 2012, Spain was off much more than that. And I think the stock market is negative 5%, which, of course, we would all be cringing here in the United States if we had a negative 5%. Of course, we've had much worse. But negative 5 versus a positive 13 would be a very different story for the United States this 2012. But for Spain, that's actually pretty good and reflective of them doing a lot to try to get their act together there. Who else is of notable mention? China. China was down pretty significantly. They ended the year positive, up 3.2. And actually, that reminds me, there's a column or an article here I want to jump back. Part of the reason why China is looking better, China's numbers, their overall trade and performance, here it is. Manufacturing activity in China expanded at a mild pace in December. This is, again, the Wall Street Journal. A survey of businesses showed suggesting that their economy is rebounding, but still fighting some headwinds. Well, hey, that sounds a lot better than it did not long ago, earlier in 2012. Everybody was concerned about a quote-unquote hard landing for China. So that's good news in my book. And of course, we have a number of countries like Germany that were up 29%. The Eurozone in general is up 14%, 14.5%. Canada up 4%, Mexico up 18%. Who else was honorable mention? India up 26%, Japan Wow, Japan up 23%. So the thing to keep in mind, though, as I mentioned some of these performance numbers for 2012, if I could go grab the paper for 2011, I can tell you that a lot of those countries had double-digit losses, those some of those foreign countries. So keep that in context. But that said, still a what I think will go down in history books as a fairly resilient year if you look back at 2012 and all the things that went on all during the year. I mean, good grief, we were passing out that seasick, what is that, Dramamine? Is that what it's called? The seasick medicine? I was passing that out to everybody we met with there for a while. But anyway, so that's what happened around the world and our U.S. market. Lisa's letting me know we're going to take a quick break, which we will do, but it will be short, and I'll be right back to continue kind of giving you an update on the markets, and then we'll get to the cliff, I promise, and some observations from yours truly. Stay right there.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we are back. Yes, I'm sounding a little nasally. They've done a really good job of not catching colds from the kids, but then with the holidays, lots of hugging and kissing and spending time with them, and wouldn't you know it, they got me. So today's program, I'll be nasally. Probably in the next couple of programs, I'll start sounding like James Earl Jones. And Lisa loves that, by the way. She thinks that's cool. All right, so this is interesting, too, I wanted to make mention of. U.S. incomes were up in November. We don't have the December numbers yet, but they had moved pretty much sideways. Income was flat for a lot of people for 2012. And so we are looking at real median household income. Basically, that's kind of the midpoint. It's not the average, because when you put in the average, all the higher incomes kind of mess it up. But if you look at median income, it was up about 1.6% for it looks like for 2012. Now, here's what's interesting to me. Let's just say that income overall, and not getting skewed by higher income earners, but just looking at the average person, average household income, I could say around 50, 51, 52, 53, right in there, $1,000 a year. You look at that increase in income being maybe 1.5%. Inflation, the final numbers have not been released for 2012 yet, but I can tell you, unless there's some huge surprise in December, which I doubt there will be because gas came down, I believe, in December, that we could have inflation that's still around 2% for the year. Well, you can do the math. Inflation, about 2%. Income up around 1.5% or so. So nobody's getting ahead, or at least the median average is not getting ahead. So it's a tough year. A lot of people had a very difficult year, and that affected our economy. And we'll get some GDP numbers, I'm sure, when Scott's back. Of course, they'll have to be revised 5 or 6 times before we get the final numbers. But we'll talk about those when he's back in the office. I thought that was interesting. Oh, and before, please forgive, this will be maybe a little bit politically incorrect, but I saw this, and it made me laugh a little bit. It shouldn't, but I'm going to just tell you about it anyway. There were two articles in the Wall Street Journal that I'm like, wait a minute. There was a survey done, or a study, and there's always these studies, and you always have to take these studies with a grain of salt. There was a study done that said that basically a few extra pounds won't kill you. And, well, I hope so, because most of us are carrying around a few extra pounds. You know, despite how many miles I might put on my bike, there's always a few extra pounds I'd like to work on. But it said that people that had a little bit of a heavier BMI, this body mass index thing, you know, when those numbers get a little high, it means we're a little bit overweight. But it said a few of those pounds or extra pounds won't kill you. In fact, you might even live a little longer or be healthier than somebody that is on the thinner side. And then I got another one that was back here in the back of the Wall Street Journal that caught my eye, that Israel has passed a new law that says that if you're too thin, that you can't be a model or you can't be featured in ads and all that. So I kind of found the two interesting juxtaposed, that a few extra pounds will make you healthier and maybe even make you a model in Israel. So anyway, I know. I write my own material. I'm sorry. But I just thought that was funny. Let's see where to go next. Speaking of your health, a lot of firms now in the United States are starting to prepare for the new healthcare law, Obamacare. It is going to be effective January 2014. A lot of the major provisions will take effect. So a lot of corporations, U.S. corporations, are starting to try to figure out what to do. Now, here's the bottom line. A lot of the changes affect what we would call bigger businesses. That's from a small business owner perspective. It's, a lot of that's not going to apply to my company, for example, where I've got 12 people that work with me. There's 13 of us. This law affects mostly companies that are 50 employees and up. So a lot of companies, though, are going to be trying to evaluate how they position themselves for these tax law changes. So you can expect to hear more and more about this. But here's the bottom line. It's not going anywhere. This law, unless there's something really radical with another election or something, but I mean, unless the president's in for four more years, and it would take something extraordinary for him to change that, to agree to any changes passed by Congress. So that is now the law of the land, and corporations, larger corporations, are going to have to prepare for it. All right. Last but not least. Okay, Lisa, one more quick break. We're going to come back. I know I've been keeping you on the cliff for the fiscal cliff. I want to do a quick rundown. We come back from this break on the major highlights of the legislation that is yet to be signed by the president, but the House and Senate have agreed. So come right back and we'll give you some details.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Okay, no more holding you on a cliff about the tax law. Well, not been signed yet, okay? But it will be. I mean, that's our expectation. All right, so here are the highlights. I've got a couple. I've got one that's from the folks at the USA Today. And then just to back them up, I've got the Journal of Accountancy, who are the CPA guys, who will also give us some details. So here we go. And before I say this, I'll give you the rundown. I think all of this is silly. I think the whole thing is silly. And we are not done with this. We've got 2 months before they're going to be talking about the debt ceiling. And all this stuff's going to come up again. And they're going to hold us hostage, play chicken with our car again, and where everybody's going to freak out. It's going to give people the talking heads on TV and the newspapers and magazines, especially the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, something to talk about. But here we go. All right, Social Security payroll tax cut. There was a 2% payroll tax cut for employees. They didn't have to pay that into the Social Security system, from which they will be deriving future benefits. And there's been no discussion of changing that, those benefits based on the 2% not going in. So we, as a country, as workers, unless they do something, we're going to get benefits for which we have not paid. Pretty cool, huh? But the 2% that was a cut gets reinstated. So it's not a tax hike. It's just going back the way it was. All right. That's been for, 2 years? So it goes back to 6.2%. That's the Social Security portion. The Medicare is the other 1.45, total 7.65% that is taken from your pay if you are employed by the employer to send to the feds, and 6.2% of that is Social Security, paying for your Social Security, and 1.45 to pay into that wonderful Medicare trust. Now, you probably know this, but if you don't, your employer has to do the same thing. They're paying the same amount for you. So a part of your pay from your employer is they are making contributions, matching contributions, if you will, to Social Security and Medicare on your behalf. They don't really have a choice if they're paying you as a W-2 employee. All right. So, and one other thing, there's no spending changes in this legislation. Basically, what they've done is the left and the right, the liberal, the conservative, the Republican, the Democrats, they have agreed basically to tax increases or changes. No mention of spending cuts. I guess that is to come later. You know, what forced all of this to a head was that there was all these cliff sunset provisions that were put in place with the extension of the quote-unquote Bush-era tax cuts. Bottom line is they were forced to negotiate. Otherwise, it would have been massive cuts to spending and tax increases. Well, with the wave of a hand, so to speak, these tax changes that they're making are taking all the pressure off those spending cuts. Be interesting to see how they are actually going to rein in, which I don't think they'll be able to. Not to be pessimistic, but I just don't know how they're going to ever stop spending. But we'll see. So other tax changes, individual tax rates stays the same for everybody. It's going to be the highest bracket was 35%, but now they're adding back in a 39.6% bracket. But that is only for the folks that make over $400,000 of income a year. Now, that's a small percentage of the population, an important percentage of the population, but nonetheless a small percentage. So most people listening to this program will not be affected by that tax increase. Similarly, estate taxes. The estate tax was set at $5 million, exemption amount of $5 million a person. That is going to stay in place. It's a permanent installation, as were the other changes I just talked about. The top rate, instead of being 35%, will increase to 40%. So if somebody's got, husband and wife have a business worth $10 million or an investment account worth $10 million, piece of land worth $10 million, cash in a bank of $10 million, that all can go to their beneficiaries with no estate inheritance death tax. If you got $20 million, 10 of it's going to be subject to a 40% tax bracket. So that would be $4 million in taxes. Heirs get $16 million. Pretty simple. And again, a low percentage of the population. Capital gains tax. It's going to stay pretty much the same for everybody at 15%. For most people, capital gains and dividends, the dividend income. But for people making over that $400,000 to $450,000, whether you're single or a married couple filing jointly, you would be at 15%. But those folks at higher end will have to pay at the 20% bracket. Alternative minimum tax, which nobody really cares about. Nobody knows what it is. But it's this nasty little alternative calculation that if they don't keep adjusting it, it would make everybody pay more. Some 30 million people would pay more taxes, but they keep eliminating that. Other changes, business taxes, other taxes, jobless benefits are extended. That's good, I think, for a lot of people, although it costs $30 billion. Medicare cuts, the reimbursements, a lot of doctors were worried and even considering early retirement with a 27% cut in Medicare payments to physicians. Lisa, let's skip the last break. There's too much to tell you guys. I can't take my other break. All right. And then across the board spending cuts. Here you go. There was a delay in $109 billion worth of spending cuts that were supposed to start affecting the Pentagon, the defense budget, and domestic agencies the first week of the year. But they pushed that back by some gimmicks they did and 2 months for them to ratchet up. We're going to not go over the cliff. We're going to go through the ceiling. Oh, boy. So anyway, so those are some of the major provisions. Let me see if I missed any with my friends over at the Journal of Accountancy. So if you're in the, 15% bracket, income tax bracket, you might be paying zero capital gains. That's pretty cool. Or even 10% bracket. So the question is, what does all this mean? I mean, does this change anything? What do I do in 2013, David, because of all this? Well, you know what I'm going to say? Not much. There's not really, again, unless you're in the higher end of this, and I do have clients that are going to be affected, and we're going to be having a different conversation, but for most people, do what you would do otherwise. Do what you would do for some smart planning. I just met with a couple, and they've hired us, thank you, to have us manage our accounts, and they've got all kinds of different holdings. Well, before we make changes, we're going to review what the tax consequences will be, because I am going to make changes. There's some things I want to improve for what they're doing. Well, we're still going to make the changes, but we're going to review it. I'm not going to have taxes drive the investment decision. Well, of course, we need to know about those decisions. So taxes, you're going to pay them. Is there a big need, again, unless you're in that high income bracket, to defer a lot of taxes or put them off into the future? No. In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to tell you that I still think higher taxes are ahead. You know, this legislation got through with a $400,000 threshold for some of these higher income. Oh, and there's a phase out of personal exemptions that starts at, I think, $250,000. But the point is, I think we're still going to see higher taxes, and I think that threshold number of $400,000 or $450,000, I think in future months or years, that will come closer to affecting more people. Maybe before the end of Mr. Obama's term, we may have additional legislation that drops that back down to that $250,000, which was one of his campaign promises to raise taxes on those people. Anyway, that's what we're dealing with. So business as usual, I would say, although what I think you should do is everyone should be looking for a smart approach to their planning. And be prepared either way. Take control. Don't let these guys in Washington determine or have you stress over your day-to-day finances. make a plan and move on with life. And we're going to move on now. We're out of time. Be sure to tune in tomorrow, and we'll have more about the cliff and any other ramifications and more to share. Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.